Turn to 1 Thessalonians. We'll start there, chapter 5. If you picture in your mind like the Lord standing here and then parents with a small baby, one of them knows who he is, the other one doesn't. And so the mom is holding this baby, and I think of the thing you want to protect the most, what's most fragile in the world, you think of a small infant. So here's the mother holding the infant, and here's this father standing over here who doesn't really know who this is, and that I'm here. And the Lord reaches out his arms for the mother to hand him the baby, and immediately the father steps in because this is a stranger, and that isn't for comfortable. And then I were to say, well, stop, it's okay. Your baby will be fine in his arms. And I want you to hear that, because what I want to talk to you about this morning, and we've talked about it some since I've gotten back from Africa, but I want to talk about it more. If we're not careful, it can invoke fear instead of faith. Because sometimes we're afraid to give God a free hand in our life with permission to not consult us first about things. Because we know it's hard to let go of that kind of control. And then we can move in the fear, and that fear can hinder us from what God's going to do. And so I want you to remember that image of somebody's voice saying, but the most fragile thing in the world, a small infant, even that will be okay in his arms. And you can trust him with his child. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, there's these verses prior to the not quenching the spirit verse that says this: rejoice always. Sounds a lot like Philippians chapter 4. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Now all of us probe to know and discern and be sure about God's will for our lives. And there are those vocational aspects of God's will and geographical aspects and relational aspects to God's will. But here's one of the things you know you can do and be in God's will. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And that's just about relationship. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Now the scripture that's, all these scriptures are amazing to me, but and the tone, you know, they're connected. The rejoicing always, this attitude of rejoicing always. I think Easter we talked about joy and rejoicing flowing out of hope. And this rejoicing always, this attitude of rejoicing always, and this relationship, this continual relationship where there's this constant communication. And in that atmosphere, there's an always giving thanks. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Now, again, the word he says here, in everything. And Paul does this a lot. Makes these absolute statements. Holy Spirit uses Paul. As you know, Paul was a very black and white person. He was not a finesse guy. And, you know, I'm the Peter guy, and this is the Paul person. And my tendency is to negotiate and navigate and, you know, finesse around. You know, 2 hours to tell you something. Within 10 or 15 seconds, Livy's done surgery. I remember one time back in Gary's long time ago, in another lifetime, before Gary was the statue of godliness and stability, the pillar that he is today. And this was the year this church first started, and he was in my den. We were talking, and Gary was having one of those conversations, you know, with me, and I was trying to make him feel better about these issues in his life where he was not doing real well in, and I was like three, like, yeah, yeah. So I was like, of course, they've been doing counseling since he was 16, So I'm like 3 hours trying to make Gary feel really good, building up to, you know, God doesn't want you doing that kind of stuff. And so Olivia comes into the kitchen. I mean, she'd gone to the grocery store, and she hears part of the conversation. So I'm 3 hours working up to making Gary feel better so I could, like, give him the medicine, you know. I've been a spoonful of sugar. I've been giving him this gallon of sugar. Olivia pokes her head in the door. Says, why don't you just quit it? So you doing that again? Why don't you just quit it? Then she went back out. And I thought, well, we could have saved you 3 hours if Olivia had just come here a long time ago. So that's where. And Paul speaks in absolutes, always rejoicing. In everything, give thanks. And I think that one of the things that happens, not so much an issue of correction, though, that can be part two, is there comes a place in faith where you're not always just nebulizing things and trying to maneuver. You're just like, well, of course, always rejoice. And in everything, give thanks. And that scripture is not so difficult for people because we come to a place where we go, well, I can, you know, God wants us to praise Him in everything. You know, no matter what it is, God still wants us to praise Him. In everything, give thanks. That's not near the stretch that Ephesians chapter 5 is. And Ephesians chapter 5 says this. Do not get drunk with wine, that is dissipation. Be continually filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even our Father. Now, it seems like he's saying the same thing, but he's saying something a little bit different. He's not just saying, in the midst of the situation that's difficult or hard, praise God. But he does say, in everything, give thanks. But he says in this scripture, always giving thanks for all things. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father. The phrase that we've been kind of developing in our noonday service, and that you've heard me say several times, that I really think that God wants us to hear and get down and in our spirit. And that's that simple phrase. Taking what God gives and giving what God takes. Taking what God gives and giving what God takes. Now, the fear that many of us have is that when we think about that, our minds run to the most difficult, painful kind of things that God might take, or the most uncomfortable things, or the most unwanted kind of things that God may give and bring into my life. And so we start there in fear. And maybe that's a good place to start, because if you can work through that, you can work through the other. But what, again, what our tendency is to forget is remember like the little boy who had the 5 loaves and 2 fish? And he put those things into the hands of the Lord, and the Lord broke them. And then in breaking them, there was release, the blessing that he had already put in them. And it's a picture of God breaking us. But we have to remember whose hands that little boy put that loaves and fish in. Whose arms this mother put this infant in. That can be trusted with precious things. And it's not a cruel and exacting God that we're called to trust and to surrender to. But it's a loving Lord who's done everything, who's given what he can't afford to give and prove to us of how much he loves us. It's not an absurd thing for him to ask us to love him with all of our hearts. Him having done that for us, having proved to us that he's someone we can trust. And so when we hear statements that, when you hear these words, give what he takes and take what he gives, who's saying it to us? Now, here's the thing that's important. The Lord wants us to move beyond submission to faith. Because often we submit to things that we don't necessarily want to submit to, and we grit our teeth and bear up under it. But what the Lord wants us to do is sing for Him. This passage in Ephesians says this: speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart. This isn't just about singing songs. Now he's also talking singing and making melody with your heart being an instrument. Singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things. Do you hear what I'm saying? Psalm 51. Psalm 51, verse 15 says, O Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may declare thy praise. For thou dost not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. Thou art not pleased with burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. And a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do you understand what the Lord's saying here? Because the confusing part is in the next couple of verses, by thy favor, do good to Zion, build the walls of Jerusalem. Then thou wilt delight in righteous sacrifices. It's not that God doesn't want sacrifice, but He wants them to be righteous sacrifices. In burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. God's not against that. He just wants it to be a righteous one. Then young bulls will be offered on thine altar. We talked last week about being a whole burnt offering, you know? And But a whole burnt offering is not just about going through the stuff, doing the duty. It's not just about submission. He says what God wants first and foremost is a heart sacrifice. And the heart sacrifice that He wants is a broken spirit. And a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. And once God's received that sacrifice, then He'll all the other things that we do, all the other actions in the Lord, our obedience means something to Him. But our obedience means nothing to Him if it's not a song, if we're not singing for Him. Our obedience means nothing to Him if in our obedience we're murmuring and complaining and agonizing under the yoke of unbelief. God wants us to move beyond submission to the will of God, to real faith. Psalm 40, verse 6 says, sacrifice and meal offering thou hast not desired. My ears thou hast opened. Burnt offering and sin offering thou hast not required. Then I said, behold, I come, in the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is within my heart. I delight to do thy will, O my God. And you need to understand, we can sing for Him through tears. Paul said, I'm sorrowing, yet always rejoicing. It's not a contradiction. There's a difference between that and resistance, passive rebellion. And so I want you to hear this whole phrase. Listen to the words, the whole phrase. Because you have to understand that throughout our days, our Lord in love stoops down and takes and gives. To hear, in love, He stoops down and takes and gives. And what He wants to know, will we give what He takes? Will we take what He gives with a song in our heart? Even though we might sing through tears, will we sing for Him? Will we smile. Because we know that that child's in the arms of ones that can be trusted. Now, don't go so far as to think, well, you bishop, it scares me, because what if he, what about if he just takes your sleep away from you tonight? Or takes money out of your checking account that you thought was there? Or gives a cousin at your front door that you had hoped to not see again anytime in the near future? You know? Or gives a wet dog running through your house. Do you understand? That's where we live every day. Or the disappointing phone call. He's always stooping down in love and giving and taking. And in the process, transforming. But will you and I give what he takes and takes what he gives? Singing for him. Not begrudgingly and not murmuring and complaining, but in faith. Will we sing for him when he takes and when he gives? In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Always giving thanks for all things. What a ridiculous statement. But see, I'm totally convinced. I know there's warfare, and I'm directed in the warfare. And you do battle, and there are things the enemy tries to bring, and the Lord alerts you, and you resist. You do all that stuff. But even the battle is from him. He allowed the battle, even if it's a battle you're involved in, you know there's one who's in control, the gift of battle? And so we take what he gives, the battle. Even in that, he'll direct us about the steps. Faith takes on all kinds of different forms in that way. So I understand that there's the enemy and all that, but I also am convinced that there's a person who has nail-scarred hands. And you know what? Those scars never healed. When Thomas stuck his fingers in his side and in his hands. This was the resurrected Christ. And he forever lives as the Son of Man in the presence of the Father as our advocate with scars. And there are forever eternal confirmation that the one who has nail-scarred hands, a pierced side, there are scars in his forehead forever in his feet. He's marred still to let me know, to remind me that I can trust that person with my life. And I'm convinced that that person is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Lord of all principalities. He's the King of Kings. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that He's Lord. And that nail-scarred Lord, that thorn-scarred Lord, is in control of my life. And in love, He stoops down and gives and takes. And I have the privilege of loving him back, singing for him by joyfully rejoicing always, giving what he takes and taking what he gives. And So we talk about these things. It's like he loved me so much. He he gave something. I mean, our Lord gave something. His life. Our Father gave that which is most precious to him, and we get to give him things we love, like sleep or like clean house when the muddy dog walks through. Do we see our Lord in all those things? Do we see him giving and taking? Do we see all those things as opportunities? That's the praying without ceasing. The communication throughout the day when the bad mood bumps up against you. You know? Do we see beyond human stuff and circumstances in a fallen world a Lord who's stooping down in love to give and take? And an opportunity that we have to quench his thirsting heart, to be loved back, By delighting to do His will? By giving what He takes and taking what He gives? Father Bill's life verse, I think, is fear not, only believe. There's a wonderful scripture in Timothy that says, even when we believe not, He still abides faithful. And if you'll come to a place where you really are convinced of that, then faith just happens all the time. Because that's what belief is all about, it's His faithfulness. Rejoice in the Lord always. Always rejoicing. Praying without ceasing, in everything giving thanks, this is the will of God. Always giving thanks for all things. Singing and making melody with our heart to the Lord. You know, this is something God's really wanting us to hear. The privilege that we have, there's a song that you and I can sing for Him that quenches His thirsting heart. And it's the song of faith that delights to give what He takes and takes what He gives. Amen? Well, Lord, give us ears to hear what Your Spirit is saying. In Jesus' name, amen.